The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back, and the second hour has arrived. And one of our favorite guests from 2020 is our next guest. Unfortunately, he's in another league and a very busy man, is one of the most influential people in college athletics. But Jack Swarbrick joins us again from Notre Dame, in the news already this week with a comment about the new EA Sports. First of all, Jack, it's great to have you back, and thank you for making time. I hope you're well.
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me on. It's a little challenging to make me go all the way through that SEC promo. That was a long promo, but I made it. I'm okay. I'm ready to go.
Well, we'll start scheduling you for the bottom of the hours in the future. So, you know, I don't know what it's like on the ACC network, but I'm sure they don't have quite as much drama. But thank you anyway. And by the way, before we get to all the news of this week, what was your final verdict on your year in the ACC football-wise? It seemed like it went pretty well.
Yeah, it was great. We loved it. So happy that we were able to work that out with the conference. They were very accommodating. Of course, we had a lot of fun with that game against Clemson. So all in all, it was a great experience for us. And while we love our independence, that was a fun experiment.
I'm sure I'm not the first person to pose the question, but did it give you any more thoughts about maybe ending the independence in football and joining up?
Yeah, not right now. It's great to have that information as we go forward. You know, as you were talking about in that last segment, college football is going to change dramatically in the next 5 years. And while we love the way we approach it today, we recognize change is coming. And so as we navigate that change, it's good to have this experience.
Jack, on that subject, let me address what you made a lot of news this week with your comments about the EA Sports, which, of course, moves right into the NIL conversation, which is everywhere. And you know, we're all waiting for the courts and legislation. Can you, not so much on the game, because I think it's a much bigger picture here. Can you explain your feelings on where we are right now and where all this is seemingly going?
Well, we're in one hell of a mess right now, but we at Notre Dame feel really strongly that student athletes deserve to have the same right as other students on campus. And Father John made that point in a New York Times interview in 2015. And so we want to see it happen. Sadly, we're in a position where 31 states have now adopted something or have something in the hopper. We have 6 congressional bills that have been introduced. We have the NCAA's proposal, and we got the Supreme Court weighing in Alston. So it's going to unfold exactly as we hoped it wouldn't. But at the end of all this, we'll get to some resolution, and the student athletes will, in fact, have name, image, and likeness rights. And I'm confident they'll have them going into this next season.
And at least in the short term, you've heard it all. We've all heard the concerns of coaches and administrators. Of those concerns, what would be your biggest?
Number one would be if we can't successfully keep this out of recruiting. That would be really harmful. People fail to understand that of all the sports, your local golf club, Little League baseball, whatever it is, college athletics is the only place that doesn't have some way to control talent distribution, right? In Little League baseball, it's geography. At your golf club, it's a handicap system. College sports has to be able to produce some version of that, or there's no competitive equity, and sports isn't very interesting. If recruiting becomes who's got NIL deals already in place that someone is offering to prospective student athletes, we're going to get in real trouble. So that's concern number one for me. Concern number two for me is if we can't figure out a way to allow the student athletes to engage in group activity without having them classified as employees. That's what the EA Sports thing is all about. How do you, you can't say no group license so they can't participate. That's not fair. How do we get them to participate under some system that allows them to do that?
We're chatting with Jack Swarbrick of Notre Dame. So many important issues out there. And of course, Jack and Notre Dame at the vanguard of all of them. Jack, you couldn't help but hear the usual suspects, and I'll include myself in that group, commenting about the end of the football season, the predictability of the playoff, which includes Notre Dame, having been in it a number of times, Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State. The ratings are what they are. The game was not great on the final Monday night. But are you concerned about what we saw this year in terms of that? And where are we going next?
Well, I don't think sport is hurt when there are really strong programs. You want the Celtics and the Lakers good in professional basketball. You like the Yankees and Dodgers good in baseball. So I think when the Alabamas, the Georgias, the Notre Dames, the USCs, whoever they are, get in periods where they're really good, I think that's great for college athletics. What we can't have is a sense of other schools that they can't make it in. And we've got to make sure that that opportunity is real and schools feel like they can get there. So eventually an expanded playoff will hopefully create that greater opportunity.
In I know we all know when the contract ends, and it seems like 3 years ago we almost seem closer to it than we are today. Do you see any resolution before we get to that final year or so when the contract starts being renegotiated?
Well, all I'd observe is that when you head into that period of time, whenever it occurs, whenever the negotiation window is, you've got to go into it knowing what you'd like the future to be. You can't use that as the opportunity to decide. And so sometime in advance of that, those of us on the management committee of the college football playoffs will have to dig in and say, this is the change we propose in the next version of the playoffs, or we're going to maintain status quo. But that decision has to be made before you get to the negotiation phase with your media partners.
The argument of some is that they can't compete, whether this is legitimate or not. And I always feel like I always feel naked bringing some of this type of conversation up to a lawyer, and a very successful lawyer, before going into athletics. They need the ability to go to the playoff to help raise their profile. Do you buy that argument at all from some of the schools that make a run but just can't quite get in that Final Four?
They and their fans have to believe they can. Whether they get it done or not, you better than anyone know all the vagaries involved in that, right? Injuries and resource issues and whatever may happen. But you've got to have the examples from time to time of people who do make it happen. And so I understand the concern, but I think a year or two with some examples of people making a run, schools making a run that aren't traditional schools, will help alleviate that.
Jack, finally, we had a couple of conversations, and they were really important during the early days of COVID and then as the season was about to unfold. And now that it's over, and as you know, the questions are already starting to come up about what is next. I'll leave that for another day, because nobody can figure it out today. But as someone who has seen so many different sides of not only business and law and now athletics at one of the storied institutions in the history of the game, what did you take away from the challenge of getting to the season and getting through the season now that it's all over?
Well, I was disappointed that the five conferences couldn't work in unison more effectively. Really proud of the working relationship between the ACC, and the SEC and the Big 12. Greg Sankey, Bob Bowlesby, John Swofford did a heck of a job of communicating with each other literally every day and finding a way forward. I wish all the Power Five had been able to do that all together. So that was sort of lesson one here. Lesson two was this, you know, it's something we see in a host of ways, but to be able to block out the noise and really talk to the people who know. We were so well served in the case of the ACC by the medical advisory group, 15 doctors, one from every school. And I think a lot of precipitous decisions were made on very little information instead of taking the time to get the information and to make it. And then finally, we get to work with remarkable student athletes. And when you present a challenge to them, they rise to the occasion. They figure out how. People simply don't understand the sacrifices student athletes at our major institutions made to be able to play this year, the limitations on their normal activity. And to get through the playoff, to get through the conference championships, and have those games go off without a hitch is a tribute to those kids.
Incredible conversation. Jack, thank you for making time. We really appreciate it, and all the very best. We hope to see you again very soon.
Always our pleasure, anytime. And we're proud that we got a host of SEC games scheduled in the years ahead, and we look forward to seeing you during those.
I can't wait. Jack, you be well. A pleasure on this side as well. We'll talk to you soon. Jack Swarbrick.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Him here. You're great. Just one of the most respected and influential people in intercollegiate athletics and involved in every important decision. And we appreciate him making time for us. And we are heading to a break. We appreciate all of you being here as well. And we'll be back with your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. Really an extraordinary conversation there with Jack Swarbrick. It is just so nice to talk to someone in intercollegiate athletics that tries to look beyond what's right in front of him. I thought he had an extraordinary comment about the coalition of Bob Bowlesby, Greg Sankey from the SEC, and John Swofford. Three who tried to make it work this year versus the two that didn't. It was quite a conversation. You know, what he didn't say there was probably more important than what he did say. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. Mitch is in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How are you?
Mitch, I am doing great. It's good to hear from you.
there's a reason you haven't, but I'll tell you that in a second. First off, I want to say how good it made my heart feel that Matt from San Antonio was courageous and man enough to say he is working on his reading skills. We should applaud that young man 10 times over. I think that was wonderful. You haven't heard from me because I broke my coccyx.
You did?
Well, you know I've lost my – I had my left foot amputated.
No, I did not know that, Matt, Mitch.
I thought I told you that.
No, you somehow I missed that, if you did.
It was amputated almost 3 years ago.
Okay, well, I'm okay. Shows you how well anyway, I listen.
I've always tried to do more than I probably should, but I've had my home made so that my bed and my bathroom were about 10 feet apart. So instead of using my wheelchair to get into the shower, I try to hop with my walker. Well, the other night I did not dry my foot off properly.
Mm.
And I got out of the shower and my foot went over my head.
Oh, my goodness.
That way.
So I hate to ask the obvious, how are you dealing with it, but how are you?
Well, 10 days later, I'm doing a lot better.
Okay.
But, you know, there's no fix for it, except for buying pillows with holes in them. But anyway, I just have to ask this question.
Sure.
I have to ask it.
Go ahead.
What happens if all of these scandalous allegations against LSU culminate, all of them, not just from Les Miles, but all that's going on, how does the university itself, not the sports program, we know the children are probably going to get punished for something they didn't do, but how does the university get punished for lack of control?
Well, that's a federal issue, but it's also an NCAA issue because the federal government is investigating. The Les Miles story to me is very troubling for a lot of reasons, Mitch. Other than the obvious, it would appear from a distance that it plays into the allegation that the culture down there was bad. I don't know how you can.
Right.
I don't know how you can escape that. I have no idea whether the allegations are true or not, but I am willing to bet that the view of what was alleged was digested in a different way in 2013 than would have been in 2021.
Right, but in 2021, we're still getting allegations that football players are sexually harassing students.
Yeah, but I think they have a. It looks. We have a guest on in a minute, so I'm going to defer to somebody who's an expert. I'm just giving you pop opinions from a distance, but you know, it just looks like you know, if this happened in 2013, and then more allegations came up in 15 and 16. That the culture down there was rotten. Now, you know, what does it mean today? You know, it means that, you know, I guess what does it mean to Ed Orgeron? Was he, you know, he was there. Did he play,
did he not play a role?
I have no idea. But, you know, I mean, I've been around a lot of college programs in the past where I was involved a lot more than I am now. And my point being, you know, sometimes the culture is just rotten to the core, and that's pervasive entirely, not just, you know, with one or two people, and it's time for this to end. If, you know, I don't know what Les Miles is accused of saying to these women, but it should not be tolerated. I can tell you that right now.
But my point is, it's not just football. You've got a basketball coach that's been under investigation for over 2 years that we've heard tapes of what he said, and LSU refuses to fire him. So there has to be some type of cult of scandalous. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like to me they need to rebuild that whole sports department.
Well, I think ultimately, I mean, let me make it very clear, Mitch, that Scott Woodward is now in charge. And, you know, nobody has ever laid a hand on this guy. He has an impeccable reputation. He was at LSU before he went to Washington, and then he was at Texas A&M. And, you know, I firmly believe that he will clean this mess up. But you have to investigate it thoroughly before you start, you know, taking names. And, you know, some people are going to be gone. Some people are already gone. But if this occurred today and Les Miles was the head football coach, he would be gone. You cannot survive these type of allegations.
No, I agree.
Now, I say that. And Mitch, I also want to make it very clear, you know, a lot of people have been falsely accused of things that they did not do, but there seems to be a lot of headwinds blowing against Les Miles and the program that occurred under him. But these allegations are not being raised against Ogeron. They're being raised against Les Miles.
No, and I'm not talking about Ogeron himself. I'm just saying there's a basketball coach that's still there that we have all heard.
Yeah, but let me make it very clear, Mitch. I'll come to Will Wade's defense when I have to, and it hasn't been often, but I will here. He's not the allegations against him are completely unrelated to these allegations. The allegations against him emanated from a federal wiretap about something that's way different than what these allegations are.
Paul, I don't think you understand my statement, though.
Okay.
I'm saying that none of these have to be alike. The allegations don't have to be alike. It just seems like there's a lack of control.
No. I don't know how you could think anything else. And
that's why I said, with the university itself, is there a punishment for it besides punishing the students that are playing now?
Well, you know, we're going to talk to Andrea Gallo in a minute. She's one of the reporters on this story out of Baton Rouge, and I'm really eager to hear what she has to say because this is a story that we have been close to a couple of times, as you know, but the first story broke, I think, in October, November, and in the middle of a football season, it's hard to get traction on anything as serious as it was and still is. But I think it's going to carry some more weight. Hey, you take care of yourself, my friend. And
You too.
Look forward to seeing you soon once all this stuff is over with. Thank you very much. Nick is up next in California. Hey, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Nick, we are doing well. Thank you for the call.
Hey, that's good. I wanted to talk to you about Alabama. Alabama football is amazing. I have such a good time watching those players out there in the state of Alabama. And their basketball team, they're in the top 10, and I think that they go far in the NCAA tournament this year, Paul.
Well, I think they have a great chance of that. I'm in total agreement with you there. And, you know, tonight, win or lose is not going to determine the next – this is a tough game. This is as tough a game as they'll have all year until they get to the NCAA tournament. But to me – this season's already been a tremendous success. So, where in California are you, by the way?
Well, I'm in Southern California wine country in Temecula.
Oh, wow. I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful city, wonderful state, too.
Yeah, we've got a caller from out there. I'm pretty sure that's where Rich is from.
Oh, awesome. That's good.
He's an Alabama guy, too, Nick. So, you guys need to hook up with each other.
Well, California sports are amazing, but I'm watching this Alabama team, and I just think they're just going to grow and grow in potential, and I love watching it. I think it's just amazing to see these guys out on the field, and every day it's really cool to watch. But,
Nick, you take care of yourself, and take some of that great California wine for us. We're up against a break here. We will head to Baton Rouge in a couple of minutes and find out more about this latest. This one involving Les Miles and some allegations from the past. All that coming up next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit?
Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back, and we told you the story as we were coming on the air today that has just come out of the Advocate in Baton Rouge by our friend Brooks Cabina and Andrea Gallo, who is one of the top investigative reporters down there, under the heading, I'm choked up just thinking about this, Les Miles offered a secret settlement to an LSU student, and it has now surfaced. Andrea, thank you. I know it's a busy time, and we appreciate very much you making some time for us. Good afternoon, and I think we're all pretty eager to learn more. What can you tell us?
Thank you so much for having me, Paul. It's great to be here. We broke a story earlier today, and you referenced the headline that Les Miles offered a secret settlement to an LSU student. We are credibly told by multiple sources that this happened about a decade ago. She was a student intern in the LSU athletic department who accused Les Miles of hitting on her. And after that accusation happened, he reached some sort of settlement with her, though the terms of the settlement are not publicly known.
Andrea, I mean, my jaw is dropping as you say that, even though I've already read the story. But, you know, the head football coach at LSU, not the current one, but the head football coach back then, hitting on, did you say an intern?
Yes, an LSU student intern in the athletic department.
And I realize you may not be able to elaborate in great detail, but when you talk about a settlement, is that a private settlement from Les Miles, private citizen, or is that something that, in your estimation, the university took part in?
That's a great question. So what we know about it is that there is not, from what we've been able to find, some sort of easily traceable public court record of it, which there would be or should be if the university played much of a role in it. However, if it was only Les Miles himself who offered the settlement on a personal level, then it would be much easier for there to be less of a trace of it. We also ran this past LSU today because, as I'm sure you know, LSU is also going through an investigation right now about patterns of sexual misconduct and botching their past investigations into these sorts of things. And that's how this whole Les Miles allegation has surfaced. And LSU's response was that they have heard about the settlement, but that they were not a party to it and they have not seen it.
Okay.
So that would seem to indicate that LSU's involvement was not necessarily direct. However, what we also know is that LSU had an outside law firm, Taylor Porter, who they frequently contract with for these sorts of things, do an investigation into Les Miles around the same time or maybe shortly after this settlement came. And USA Today reported this afternoon that that was a sexual harassment investigation as well.
Andrea, Joe Oliva was the athletic director, if I remember correctly. So I know a lot of people are probably asking Scott Woodward about this, who's currently the AD, but he was not there, of course. And I'm trying to establish that because as we move down the road here into this other investigation, which we're still waiting to hear more about, you know, one of the big parts of that, if I remember correctly, involved the culture down there. I mean, this plays right into that, does it not?
That's exactly right, Paul. I think that it goes to this larger question of how LSU handled allegations largely from female students, many of them who either worked for the athletic department or who were student athletes themselves, many of them made allegations of things like sexual misconduct, sexual harassment, even domestic violence, rape, sexual assault. And there are a lot of questions that this Hush Blackwell report is hopefully going to help answer about how those situations were dealt with. And largely, those all happened under the tenure of Joe Oliva as athletic director, as you pointed out. We reached out to Joe Oliva today, but we have not heard back from him.
I know in the story there's not much chatter from Kansas, where Les Miles is the head football coach, hired by Jeff Long, who formerly was at the University of Arkansas. Did they have anything to say out there?
Kansas, I believe, offered a statement to USA Today earlier. They told Kenny Jacoby over there, he's a great reporter,
right,
that they did not know about these allegations whenever they hired Les Miles in 2018. We should also note that we reached out to Les Miles ourselves this morning. My coworker, Brooks Cabina, called him, and he denied any sort of wrongdoing or any sort of that he had ever made an inappropriate advance toward a student.
Andrea, I'm not being salacious here, but I mean, these are fairly serious allegations. Do you have any idea where the phrase hitting on her came from?
That is the phrase that our sources who had been directly briefed about this settlement used. That was their term, not ours. So
right.
We felt like it was just best to quote them directly rather than to try to speculate, you know, what exactly the meaning of that phrase was.
And I'm not trying to act like I'm blind to all of this. I think it's pretty obvious what that phrase means for a coach. I mean, Les Miles, I'm guessing right now, he's 67 years old, so he would have been in his late 50s at the time. And we're talking about someone in her late teens or early 20s at the most, are we not?
That's correct. She would have been a college student at the time, so I think that one could probably safely assume that she was, you know, under 25, under even maybe 22, 21. And most of these allegations, even larger than Les Miles, the culture of the program that we were talking about earlier, involve students and student athletes, all of whom were, you know, in the 18 to 22 year old age range.
And while some of these, while most of these allegations came up inside and around that program, Les Miles was the head football coach, was he not?
Some of them happened under the tenure of Les Miles. Some of them have also happened under Coach Ogeron.
Okay.
And some of them have kind of overlapped. You know, there were cases involving people like Drake Davis or Darius Geis who played for each of them, or who at least knew each of them between being recruited and playing for the team.
Andrea, I know, and it's been so long ago that I was an investigative reporter, I can barely remember, but I do remember those days very well, and I know your reputation is outstanding, and I'm not asking you to reveal your roadmap, but I'm assuming the story is not over.
No, I think that's a safe assumption, and we are definitely open to talking with anybody who has further information that they think that we should know about, but we already know at this point that this Taylor Porter investigation into Les Miles happened. USA Today says that it was a sexual harassment investigation. And Les Miles has intervened in Baton Rouge District Court to try to prevent the public release of that investigation, to try to prevent the public from finding out what it says. So I think that that's, you know, one major avenue with a lot of questions that still need to be answered, and we certainly hope to be able to answer them in the future.
Andrea Gallo, who with Bruce Cabina broke the story earlier today, and it is quite a story indeed. Thank you so much for coming on. Excellent job, and all the very best to you as you and Brooks continue to pursue this story.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Thank you. Wow, what an amazing story. Andrea Gallo joining us. We'll take a break, get some reaction to that. It's fairly jaw-dropping. I'm trying to give everyone the benefit of the doubt here, but the idea of he made a settlement, according to her story. This isn't just he said, she said. He tried to make it go away. And that was trying to stop anyone from learning about it. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, we are back on the program, and let's head to Trey in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Trey.
Hey there, my friend. How are you today?
I am doing well. Hope you are.
Well, I'm like Jimmy Buffett today, Paul. I'm sitting on the front porch swing, but I'm listening to the birds sing, and I'm smelling those shrimp beginning to boil. How about that?
Wow, I like that.
Yes, sir. Hey, that was a great, great, great interview. That was really good. That's a lot of information. I guess we're finding out less is really more, huh, Paul?
Yeah, no, this is I've never understood the fascination with Les Miles at Kansas, and I can understand it less today.
Yes, sir, I agree. Hey, I got two quick questions for you. One's about a caller, and one's about Bryce Young. There used to be a caller, and I'm assuming this, he was an elderly black man, used to be so full of knowledge and wisdom. And when he hung up, he used to always say, I'm going to tell you this, and then I'm going to let you go. Have you heard from him yet? Can't remember his name. You remember that caller, Paul?
Was that Bobby? Yeah, that was I think that was Bobby from Birmingham. And very
yes,
sadly, He was a fantastic caller, a veteran, and he had cancer and passed away about last spring, as I best remember it.
Oh, sorry to hear that. Prayers to his family. The second question, Paul, about Bryce Young. You know, everybody, like last year, seems to think he's going to be the starter. I'm hearing about Paul Tyson going to give him a run for his money. If that's the case and Bryce isn't the starter, you see him in the transfer portal, and if so, which SEC team do you think will pick him up? And I'll hang up and listen to you, Paul.
By the way, I have heard the same thing about Paul Tyson. I've heard he had a fantastic year last year just in terms of practice. And I've heard he has looked in fact, I heard from a friend of mine who was pretty plugged in yesterday that mirrored exactly what you just got through saying. So I can't begin to speculate on Bryce Young's future if he doesn't win the starting job. I think it's self-explanatory. Thank you for the call, though. Appreciate it. Let's move along and check out Cheerleader next. Hello, Cheerleader.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
And first of all, I just want to say my heart goes out to Tiger Woods and all that he's going through and the family and everybody, but it is enduring how the golf community is embracing him. I watched a little bit on the Golf Channel and saw some of the golfers. And
yeah.
He's taken to the young golfers, the young ones, and, you know.
Well, cheerleaders, I'm sure you heard, and I heard some of that this morning, too, on the Golf Channel. All those young golfers grew up wanting to be Tiger Woods.
Yes, yes, and I'm just so glad, you know, however his wounds end up, or he ends up, I do feel like he will be living his life. It's not threatened, but some of his injuries
Yeah, Joey, I hate to run because we're at the end of the hour. Mel Kiper will be joining us shortly. We'll talk about SEC basketball in the final hour and your phone calls.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.